The topic for our sermon this morning says, do not neglect your gift. And that can be found from 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 to 16. Do not neglect your gift. 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 to 16. It says, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right, for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. I can't help but see the passion in the life of the Apostle Paul as he's mentoring the young man Timothy. You know, everything that he could think of, he put it in here. That's somebody who wants the other to succeed. And mentoring is so, so important, you know, in this day and age where anything goes. And so the question I ask this morning is that, where are the mentors? Where are the mentors? Men like Paul, men like Peter, men like Barnabas. Where are the mentors? Mentoring is so key that we can't afford not to have mentors. Ideally, everybody should have a mentor. And ideally, we should be mentoring other people as well. I started driving at the age of 17. And I just, you know, I'd been practicing behind the scene. But the moment I turned 17, my mom says, you've been pressurizing us to come in. And that's how you do it there, you know. And then once I felt confident enough, I went to they have a driving school in Coates. But you only just go there to submit your passport photograph and stamp your thing and give your license. So I've been driving since 17 and I got into this country and obviously I knew that I had to do the proper thing, you know, submit myself. And so initially I thought I would just, you know, and someone said, you better submit yourself for classes. I said, but I've been driving since 17. All those driving is not... Anyway, I submitted myself and then had some lessons. And the mentor said, how long did you say you've been driving for? I can't remember the amount of years now. He said, with what I've seen so far, I'll just fail you. Complete failure. But thank God, I submitted myself. Within a few weeks, I did the lessons. The rest is history. So mentoring is so key. But despite all that we are seeing about Paul and Timothy, Paul featured a lot in Timothy's life. There's no doubt about it that Timothy had a call of God upon his life. He had a call of God. Ultimately, it was God that was calling Timothy. He only used men like Paul you know, to assist. But ultimately the call was from God. And I wonder, Eli's children, Hophni and Phinehas, they probably had their dad as their mentor, because their dad was Eli, the prophet, the great prophet. So probably their dad was their mentor, and there's nothing wrong in that. But perhaps they mistook the fact that because their dad was their mentor, the book stopped on his table. They did not realize that they were accountable to God. And so, they missed it. God calls the young. He calls the young. He calls the old. He calls the unemployed. He calls the employed. He calls everybody. God doesn't discriminate. He called a great man called Abraham. I'm sure we know him very well. He called him to be the father of many nations. And then he called a widow from nowhere. The widow of Zarephath. He called her to feed the prophet and to keep him alive during famine. God is calling everybody. He's calling them from Bollywood to Hollywood. God has representatives in all those places. And when God calls, God rewards. We can see that in the life of this young man too, Timothy. God called him. The call of God is a very personal call. Personal to yourself, personal to King's Church. What God is calling us to do here might be different from what God is calling them to do elsewhere. Timothy's call was specific. He was called to teach. Now, what is this call of God all about? When someone says, I've been called by God, what is God calling us to do? There's one thing that God is calling every man to do. God is calling every man to lead. I know that when you hear the word leadership, you know, you might begin to send weighs down. I've had people say that, you know what, I don't want to be a leader. Because of the way the world portrays it, they've made it very exclusive for the exclusive few. For I know an institution, I know some institutions where if you are above 35, you can't join the workforce. Because they want fresh blood. They want young blood. But they're the ones saying to us that life begins at 40. And yet at 35 they've cut the life off. So I understand your perception about leadership. But that is not the way God sees it. The way God sees leadership is quite different from how the world plays it. So what is leadership? Leadership is taking responsibility, taking charge. That's all there is to leadership. Take charge. Step in there, take charge. That's what leadership is all about. A young man called Samuel, I'm sure you know him, Hannah Samuel. His mom brought him to the temple at a very young age. And Samuel took charge as a young boy. He would close the temple gates. Whatever that was available for him to do, he just stepped in. It was strange. God paid him a visit one night. God did not pop in to see the big man, Eli. God walked past Eli's room, walked past the room of Eli's children, and popped in to see this young boy called Samuel. And God was discussing issues of national security with the young boy. Eli's children were too big. They couldn't. They had other issues going on for them. And the Bible says that God rewarded Samuel with his presence. The Bible says that the Lord was with Samuel. None of his words fell to the ground. Of course, eventually Samuel became a prophet. We know the story. There's a man again called Mordecai. Mordecai is the uncle of a young lady called Esther, who became the queen. Remember Esther? Mordecai was a security guard at the gates of the king. That particular king was very powerful in those days. And then, Mordecai had some of his colleagues, security colleagues, discussing about how they were going to kill the king. And as a leader, what did Mordecai do? He took charge. And that's what leaders do. Leaders take charge. They step in and take charge. They don't leave it for others to do. And so Mordecai reported the incident. It was investigated. They found that it was true. And they disciplined those guys. But what am I trying to say this morning? What I'm trying to say is that you can lead from the rear. You don't have to be in front. You can lead from obscurity. You can lead from the rungs of the ladder. Just take charge. Because not too long after that, Mordecai was promoted and eventually became the prime minister, the second in command to the king. How do you add that up? From a security guard. In fact, if you read the story properly, if he had to send messages into the palace, he had to send somebody. So he didn't even have access to the king, not even to his niece, who was the queen. He was at the front, very front. Nothing was happening there. But yet, the one who rules in the affairs of men singled him out. God is calling us today to rise up and take charge. A lot is going on in our community. But even before then, what about here? I see so many ministries coming up here. I don't know how many ministries we have in the church now, but I see so many coming up. But God is depending on you. God is calling you this morning. Why is God calling me? Why is God calling you? What does He want? God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. He says, I called Abraham alone and I blessed him. But beyond that, God wants to make you a blessing. God wants to make you a blessing. The Bible says that it is more blessed to give than to receive, says Jesus. There's a fulfillment when you are giving. God wants you to be impactful. Well, how does He do this? Very simple. God makes you influential. Influence. But then we see Paul saying to Timothy, now you are in a position of authority. Don't let anyone think less of you because of your age. But I am adding my own there. Don't think less of yourself. Because you are a leader. God expects just one thing. Just take charge. Just take charge. There's a young man called Joseph. Regular chap. Doing very well. Of 11 children, he was the 10th. Favorite of his father. Things were working for that man. Things were working for him. Until his brothers conspired against him and they were going to kill him. But thank God, God had mercy on him. And then they sold him into slavery. And then he found himself in a man's house called General Potiphar. And I believe that Joseph must have been asking the same question, that how did I get here? How did I get here? And there might be one or two of us here as well asking questions. And I had dreams and I had aspirations. And I thought about this and I thought about that, but somehow it's not adding up. Like Joseph. But despite that low estate that Joseph found himself in, Joseph took charge. In that low estate. Where are you in the scheme of things? God is saying to you this morning, take charge. He says, my ways are not your ways. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. Just take charge. Lead from wherever. From the top, from the back, from the rear, wherever you find yourself, just take responsibility. So Joseph stepped in. But as he stepped in, he saw it as a call. The call of God upon his life to serve that household. Even though his title was a slave. But he did the work as unto the Lord. The moment God saw that, God moved in with him. God moved in with him. The Bible says that God blessed the household of Potiphar for the sake of one man, Joseph. Hey! Blessed the entire household for the sake of Joseph. Ah, Potiphar saw that. He said, this man, he was humble enough, because many people would not accept it. But Potiphar was humble enough to detect that from the moment you stepped into this family, life has not remained the same. So what did Potiphar do? Promoted him. the head of all the staff. And that is where influence started. God wants you to have influence. Why? So that you can influence people and signpost them to Him. So God puts you at a vantage position. So expect promotion. God will promote you in the name of Jesus. But remember, God wants you to signpost people. But if you are going to be called by God, which He is doing at the moment, and you're going to answer His call, and you are going to take responsibility, and you are going to have influence, God will prepare you. David was prepared. Saul arrived. That's the difference. David was prepared for the throne. Well, Saul just arrived. In fact, he was looking for, I don't know what he was looking for. And they just found him. And said, come and take over. No inclination. God will prepare you for the throne. And this is preparation ground. This assembly that you are in, King's Church, this is where God is preparing us for what is to come. So you must engage. You must what? Because God doesn't want a situation where we are half-baked and He presents us and He promotes us, because it can cause problems. God wants us to be able to influence people positively. So He will strip us of so many things. And I talked to you about the driving thing. Could drive to, you know, wherever. I could drive to Abuja, go with you, no Nigeria, everywhere. And yet, but I had to go through another retest here. It's a man called Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. I'm sure we know Solomon. You don't even know Rehoboam. Solomon was David's son, the wise man. The Bible says that when Rehoboam became firmly established and he became strong, he abandoned the law of the Lord and all Israel followed him. Influence, but negative. All Israel followed him. 2 Chronicles 12:1. One man. But because he was at a vantage position, all Israel followed him. So God is careful. God wants you to prepare. He's preparing us. But you must engage. I must engage. You must engage. Because the journey is far. God is taking us to a broad place. But it is time to prepare. First Kings 11 verses 1 to 3. You see the big man there, Solomon. God appeared to him twice. Queen Sheba came to see him. She said, wow. I've been hearing about you, but seeing this thing now is different. Nothing near to what I had. Excellence all through. The hand of God was upon this man. He said he wrote about 3,000 proverbs. He wrote songs. He wrote poems. He knew about plants. I said, only one man. God, this is not fair. God blessed him beyond measure. And then, he says, Solomon loved many foreign women. Even though God had said, have I said something wrong? God said, don't do it. Don't do it. They will take your heart away from me. He said, but nevertheless, Solomon still did it. Ah! How did Solomon get to that point? The one who saw God, that God spoke to. God gave me a blank check. And that's why the apostle is speaking to Timothy. Focus on the word of God. You are not there yet. That's why they cry to us, church in the home, go. Church in the home, attend. Because without the word of God, we're nothing. And no matter what level we get to, the devil is scheming. On the word of God. That is able to keep you from falling. And your personal devotion. God wants you to be influential. But there is another level that God wants to take us to. That level, influence cannot take you there. Do you know why? Influence is varied. A man could be influential in North Korea. North Korea, is that a good one or the bad? They're all good anyway. You could be influential in North Korea. And you get here, nobody knows you. Influence is very wonderful, don't get me wrong. But influence is varied. There's a level that God wants to take King's Church, and I don't want to say King's Church, I'm talking about you and I. It is the level of relevance. The level of relevance. What brought Joseph out of prison was not influence. They said the king wanted to see him, Pharaoh. It wasn't influence, it was relevance. Pharaoh needed something that Joseph had. He needed something desperately that Joseph had. So it was no longer influence. I mean, Joseph could influence him. He was in prison anyway. A slave, a foreigner, which influence is it? Relevance. What made Daniel the third man in the kingdom is not influence. That king needed something that Daniel had. Relevance. What made Naaman to travel all the way to come and see Elisha was not influence. He didn't even know who Elisha was. It was relevance. What made Pharaoh to create a job in 24 hours, the job of prime minister? That's not influence. It's relevant. So, Paul said to Timothy, use the joker. No, he didn't say it that way. I'm just the one saying it. Spiritual gift. That is the key. Where God is taking King's Church to now is that level. Where people will have no choice but to listen. Because we are carrying something that they need. What spiritual gifts, amongst other things, and they have them in 1 Corinthians 12, I think, you have them there, faith, healing, word of knowledge, is all there, prophecy. But what the gifts do, one of the things that it does for us, is that it gives us access. So people have no choice but to listen. Because they need something that we have, and God says, I'm going to give it to you. But I want to read Job 28 to us. It's a bit of a long one, but I want to read it so that we can have a foretaste of what the gifts can do. Job 28 from verses 1, I'll try and do it to the end quickly if I have time. It says, people know where to mine silver and how to refine gold. They know where to dig from the earth and how to smelt copper from rock. They know how to shine light in the darkness and explore the farthest regions of the earth as they search in the dark for ore. They sink a mine shaft into the earth, far from where anyone lives. They descend on ropes swinging back and forth. Food is grown on the earth above, but down below the earth is melted as by fire. Here the rocks contain precious lapis lazuli, and the dust contains gold. These are treasures no bird of prey can see, no falcon's eye observe. No wild animal has walked upon these treasures. No lion has ever set his paw there. People know how to tear apart flinty rocks and overturn the roots of mountains. They cut tunnels in the rocks and uncover precious stones. They dam up the trickling streams and bring to light the hidden treasures. But do people know where to find wisdom? The game changes. All those things that we've talked about before, man-made, influence, money can buy those things. But it gets to this place, it says, do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? No one knows where to find it, for it is not found among the living. It is not here, says the ocean, nor is it here, says the sea. It cannot be bought with gold. It cannot be purchased with silver. It's worth more than all the gold of Ophir, greater than the precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Wisdom is more valuable than gold and crystal. It cannot be purchased with jewels mounted in fine gold. Coral and jasper are worthless in trying to get it. The price of wisdom is far above rubies. Precious peridot from Ethiopia cannot be exchanged for it. It's worth more than the purest gold. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all humanity. Even the sharp-eyed birds in the sky cannot discover it. Destruction and death say, we've heard only rumors of where wisdom can be found. God alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found. For he looks throughout the whole earth and sees everything under the heavens. He decided how hard the wind should blow and how much rain should fall. He made the laws for the rain and laid out the path for the lightning. Then he saw wisdom and evaluated it. He set it in place and examined it thoroughly. And this is what he says to all humanity. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. the gifts, the spiritual gifts, money cannot buy them. But the start for everyone here is that, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Because if you don't, God cannot give you this kind of gift. It's not meant for everybody. It's meant only for His children who will use this gift to shine. So the first thing this morning that we need to address is that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, why don't you say yes to Him today? Why don't you say yes to Him? All you have to do is just to say, Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins. Come in true repentance and ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. You know what? God can even take you from there straight to relevance. You might even bypass influence. He takes you straight. It's God's prerogative. But I believe that God is saying to you that yes, He's calling you this morning. Are you going to say yes to Him so that He can bless you and make you to be a blessing? Is there anybody here this morning you want to say yes to Jesus? Don't worry, we'll just call you into the room here after, but I want to see your hands so that we can know who you are and pray with you. What we are talking about this morning is very, very serious because things are shaking all over the place and things will continue to shake because that is God's style. He will first of all shake it and then He will now bring it back. But it is you and I that He's going to use. He won't use any outsider. It is us. And that is where God is preparing us. You are here this morning. You want to say yes to Jesus. You've never had a relationship with Him. Or you have had in the past. And you've drifted away. And you want to make your peace. Please just slip your hands. You know, so that we know who you are. And then we can pray with you. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. Anybody else? I'm sure there'll be one or two other people here. You want to say yes. You see, it's a personal call. It's not about anyone. It's not about the pastor. It's not about anybody. It's between you and God. God is calling you this morning. He wants to make peace with you. Anybody else? By show of your hands, you want to say yes to Jesus? Anybody else? So my sister, God bless you. Once we finish the service and pastor shares the grace with us, please meet us at the room to your right and to my left. God bless you.